You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello, and welcome to an episode. This is actually a special episode of Let's Hear It with Trainer, because we're doing some cross-promotion with this, because today, my guest is my host of my other podcast, the Ultimate Nerd Podcast, Mike Sanderson. Say hello, Mike.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike Sanderson, the other host from Ultimate Nerd Podcast.
Before we get into too much of our nerd stuff, but we're going to go over some sponsors here. So National Credit Card Relief here is, if you can't seem to stay ahead of your own bills, then this is the message for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debts, medical bills, and department store debts forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been proven by thousands to legally forgive millions in insecure debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program can actually wipe clean a portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call free information to get your questions and answers in this first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program is very efficient. Call for the information to find out more. 1-800-218-7170. There's no cost or obligation for this information. Don't wait. Call 1-800-218-7170. That's 1-800-218-7170. Get your debt problem solved and call again at 1-800-218-7170 today. All right. That is
a mouthful.
But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So, yeah. Welcome to Podcast Detroit, Mike. This is cool. It's like fun getting out of the basement to actually a studio.
Yeah, this is a pretty nice setup here.
Yeah. I mean, this is really cool that we've, you know, done something that we wanted to do with talking about our passions of video games and animes, and we can bring it to, you know, a Podcast Detroit studio or like a live podcast place. So how do you think of it? Is everything cool?
Yeah, it's awesome. This is a great setup. Really like it.
So me and Mike go way back. And if you listen to Ultimate Nerd Podcast, which you should, we are on all the socials and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter. I think Facebook we got to figure out a little bit.
Yeah, we're kind of lazy on that one.
Yeah, but you can find us. But why did we start this podcast? Let's just start with that.
Yeah,
did I ask you or did you?
No. I don't know. Like what happened? What transpired? It's like all the right. We started a podcast and now we're already recording our fourth episode. I don't know. I know Ryan was already had his own podcast and we started talking about that before. And then I know Ryan always hinted at me something about video games and anime and podcast. Mm. I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds cool. Get together and talk about the things we love.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things where this is what we do off mic. And even though we, you know, us being as good friends as we are, whenever we hang out, I mean, this is exactly what we do / talk about. I mean,
yeah, it's like pretty much an episode of us just talking for 2 or 3 hours straight.
And I just thought it would be like the best thing to like, let's start recording these. Because again, we're serious about it. We're not just like, oh, yeah, like, that's cool. You know, I like this. I like that. It's like, no, we invest a lot of, you know, of our life into anime and video games and just nerd stuff, you know, like it's just part of our DNA.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever we obviously like a lot of different stuff, but pretty much we're on the same level with a lot of things most of the time. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, we have a few like different shows and games and stuff and things we like that.
Yeah.
But it's always fun hearing those things too, you know, because you might be into something that I'm not, but I'm like, that's cool. You're into that because I'll never watch that. So, you know, and obviously I know that goes the same you know, with vice versa and all that. But yeah, it's what are some recent animes and video games like this year you've been like really into?
Well, what do we want to start with, anime or video games?
Let's do video games.
Video games? Well, most recent, we already talked about this before. I'll skim over that, but Overwatch is always main. But most recently, game I beat was God of War for the PS4. I think that was on most people's radar. If you own a PS4, you're going to play God of War.
Yeah, and that was like huge, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Got 10 out of 10 and a lot of reviews.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it doesn't have much competition for Game of the Year besides maybe Smash Brothers and Spider-Man or maybe, you know, but it's... It's a pretty damn incredible game.
And we had a huge gap in between. Well, I guess Ascension came out, but, you know, like you had God of War 3 with that, like, cliffhanger ending. And it's like, is this ever going to continue?
Yeah, is it ending or, like, what's going on with Kratos? Is this the world's over?
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely did a great job with God of War. It's
it's great. Yeah, I still haven't played that yet, but I definitely am going to play that. For sure.
Yeah, it's one of those things too where it's like you love it if it's continuing the series that you've known so long for, and then a good introduction for new fans of the series to get into.
Yeah, yeah, I like that a lot. And Kratos is a iconic character.
Yeah,
I mean, come on, he has even throughout his other games and stuff. It's just like, again, God of War 3 is my favorite, but it's like that has some of the best like cutscenes slash battles slash just like. Stuff you do in that.
Yeah, the crazy over-the-top boss fights are just, like, one of the kind.
Yeah, and, like, hack and slashes are not what they were, and it's cool that they took that game and made it, like, you know, it's still a hack and slash, but it's a different style.
Yeah, they had to evolve over this time from being a basic action game back then to combine from action to those RPG elements, which they did a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because... You know, even when, because I got God of War 3 was great. Then, like, Ascension came out, and I was like, man, this is getting kind of stale.
Yeah, it was an all right game. It was nothing spectacular, but I was like, it's a kind of been there, done that feel to it, you know?
Yeah. And that's good that they took it in a new direction and made it into obviously this, you know, God of War that it is now. So
yeah, it's awesome now. It's Kratos and Atreus' son.
Yeah, he has a kid.
Yeah.
You would think the last person to have a kid would be Kratos, you know?
Well, his son's a badass just as much as his dad is.
Yeah, I'm sure that I can't wait to see that story unfold. So I would say with me, with video games, I mean, I've been playing a lot of, like, I just got a Switch, so I've been playing, like, Mario Rabbids, and, like, I'm getting into Mario Odyssey 2 and, like, all that. And, you know, I definitely want to get into Breath of the Wild. I know these are kind of, like, older things that have been talked about.
Yeah, but you just got your Switch, though, so you got to get caught up. It's already been out for over a year and a couple months now.
I want to get really into, like, the eShop, too. There's, like, a lot of cool indie games that seem to be coming out on that I would like to play and stuff like that, you know? And,
yeah, it's crazy. What's it? For the Switch, it said that from now until it came out, it's already almost got over 1,000 games in its library to buy, which is pretty insane for only being out since March of last year for Nintendo system from the Wii U, which was like had no support whatsoever besides their main party games. And now the Switch, they got like pretty much almost everything you could ask for on this platform, this console. It's awesome.
And they don't ever really like talk about their shop a lot, you know what I mean? Because it's like you get like the stuff that you can buy at GameStop and like the stores, like the actual hard copies, but like I had no idea it was that many games on, you know, the eShop and all that, which is cool, because I'm like, well, I can only play like a few games on this, but I'm like, no, there's a thousand, like you said.
Yeah.
So, and actually one that I wanted to talk about that I'm glad I have a Switch now for, it because probably the last complete game I beat was Persona 5 and loved it. Great game.
Oh yeah,
you know, we talked about that for our, you know, till this day, you know.
Yeah.
And Shin Megami Tensei, the
devil summoner.
Yeah, but it's, you know, in the Persona universe.
Yeah, kind of. I'm not 100% sure.
I've never played one.
Yeah, me neither.
There's like the enemies and stuff that are in like Persona are in those as well.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone always raves about like a few of those games. Like there's some that are just like very like cult following and stuff like that. So when I saw that, and this was like last year, I saw that they had a trailer for one of those coming to the Switch. And I don't think it was coming to anything else but that. I was like, that's cool that I can play that now.
A nice exclusive for the Switch. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
You know, and like, obviously I love Persona 5, and Persona 5 is done, and that's its game. I would like to see, you know, something different, but in that same, you know, Atlas style kind
of. Yeah, that might be a good stepping stone for both of us in that series to get into that on the Switch.
Yeah, so that'd be cool. So I'm excited for stuff like that. And, I think we were talking about switching to, I guess, anime stuff. I think just saw this morning the Castlevania Season 2, because Castlevania 1 or Season 1 came out last year.
Yeah, during the summertime. What was it, only 4 episodes?
Very short,
but I enjoyed it.
It was cool. It I can't think of the studio that did it, but I think it's the same one that did. Remember when like Highlander came out?
Oh yeah.
You know, it's in like Highlander. It might be the same studio as like Ninja Scroll. If I'm.
Oh really? The new redone Ninja Scroll or the old one?
The old one.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
It might be. Don't quote me on this, but because obviously that's an older anime.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I know the Highlander. You can just tell from the art style and stuff. Like,
yeah,
that's got to be the same. You know, studio producing that. Which I love. You know, I love that. That was a really cool standalone episode. Movie, I should say. But Castlevania was really cool. And it grew on me a little bit. Like
I remember when you first watched it. Because I was like, did you see Castlevania yet? I thought it was pretty awesome. And when you first watched it, you're like, it was all right.
It was all right. And I love Castlevania, the games. And I liked the continuity they had with it, you know, with the characters, and it's cool that Alucard, you know, shows up in the end.
Yeah, it was great how it started off, though, just with the whole introduction of Dracula and everything and giving him the backstory, you know, which was nice.
It's just, to me, it's like out of 4 episodes, which, especially with Netflix, it's like, I'm fine with watching an anime. Again, we've watched Hunter x Hunter. I've watched an anime weekly where I have to watch 20 minutes of an awesome anime and have to see a epic episode to be cliffhangered and wait till next Tuesday to see the next part.
Yeah, I'd be tortured for a whole week.
You know, and that's fine and that's cool and whatever. But when you give me 4 episodes, that's not even a season.
Yeah.
You can't say that's a season. And that's what was very, you know, especially with Netflix, when you can have like, they drop their seasons with like, you know, 12, 20 plus episodes.
Yeah.
With any other show. And like Castlevania got this. And like, I'm like that. I'd rather kind of had it all just like drop it once, you know?
Yeah.
Just in that Netflix style, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it was cool. It had a handful of parts that I really appreciated. And I like where it's going. And that new trailer looks awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see that. And I feel like with a lot of shows, you know, things do pick up.
Yeah. I'd say the first season is just like kind of like a little small introduction. They're just kind of, you know, trying to get you hooked.
And from the trailer, you know, you see that like they're all together and they're all like, you know, trying to take down Dracula and stuff. So it's like
they got the squad together.
You kind of have to go through those 4 episodes of bullshit to now it's like, all right, there's going to be some good shit going on now. So I'm excited for that. And, you know, they're never really, especially in the games, it's different. You know, like you're never in a party and now you're watching something where all these characters that have been in these Castlevania games are doing stuff together.
Yeah.
For, you know, this obviously same, you know, goal. And it's going to be cool to see. So, but I know we talked about it in our second episode. We did our tops. But
Our top 3 video games and top 3 anime.
I guess this kind of goes with what we're looking forward to. Let me step back a bit. But what are you looking forward to any new anime in like the future and stuff? Attack on Titan season 3.
No, I'm pretty sure the new season of One Punch Man comes out this fall or early next year.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that's definitely on the radar. That's just a phenomenal series in itself.
Yeah, and That's like one too. You know, I haven't read the most recent stuff since like that manga comes out pretty irregularly, and it's like either five. You know, the artwork's amazing. The animation's just phenomenal. But I hate when I, you know, go and read a new chapter and it's just like three panels of like, again, badass artwork, but it's like, that's it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have to wait next month to see.
It's kind of sporadic.
It's very, it's manga is just a whole other thing we could probably talk about and go down to how like that has been our bane of our existence of just torturing us with such good content.
Yeah, waiting weekly for a series or waiting monthly for a series.
Yearly?
Yeah.
Come on.
Or, series that are on hiatus. And definitely I'm looking at you, authors of Berserker and Hunter.
What? I know it's very tough to be a mangaka, but it's like, man, they gotta, it's so different now. You know, you think that would be kind of easier. You know what I mean? Like, I know back in the day, especially with like Berserk and like Hunter x Hunter, those are older, you know, concepts and stuff, but they gotta fix that problem. Or in like, just finish it or do more.
They've been working at, well, Berserk since what, early 90s, and Hunter's kind of like the middle 90s, and now it's 2018. It's like any other series would have been probably done by now with all those time those guys take off. But
I think that's another thing with anime and like Western style like TV and cartoons and stuff. It's like they love just dragging shit on, and they love making stories that last forever, which is great. But
yeah, it's a good thing sometimes, and other times it's a bad thing, just because sometimes you'll go through those lull points where it's just stale. And you're just like, oh, I can't stand this. I'm just going to go through another cookie cutter fight or something, you know?
Yeah, it's a bunch of fillers. And, you know, we all know how Naruto ended. So, but, you know, and but then there's, you know, things like JoJo that are, you know, like a refreshing thing that you're like, you're getting something new every season. And you might have to wait a little bit, but each season of JoJo is like a whole new refreshing storyline of like something you don't like, you know, the connecting parts a little bit, but it's all new.
But
it's all still this part of the same universe.
He does such really an amazing job in between each part, changing it up and the new characters, different concepts and ideas, and just the general insanity of JoJo in general.
Yeah. What do you think about with part five? Are you excited for that?
I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
I watched the trailer this morning for it. That little, like, it's like a minute.
Just the silhouettes of everything and the music.
It's so cool because, you know, I know it's more of like a gangster kind of storyline. Like that's kind of like, and
and I think it's from the villain's point of view. Well, he's the villain. What's his name? Giorno.
Yeah, it's something weird.
Something
like
with another G in his last name, whatever. I think he's the supposed son of Dio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting.
I know, because he's like, that's like the first lineage break of, well, he's technically a Joestar because Dio obviously
he's got Jonathan's body. So many layers to JoJo.
It's so bizarre. Literally, that is like just explaining part five and why that is the first, you know, the ultimate bad guy of JoJo, Dio, you know, the one of the greatest villains ever.
Yeah.
You know, and how he is mixed with Jonathan, but not in a gay way.
He just has his body after getting his head chopped off.
Yeah, you know, that happens. You know, that just happens. But when you're a vampire, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see that they take that. And Gino, it's like his character is, he's a delinquent like every Joestar is, you know what I mean? But it's, you know, he's a good guy, actually. Like, he wants to do the right thing, which you would think if you had any amount of Dio blood in you, you just want to eradicate the world.
I think, like, the synopsis is he wants to become, like, the top
gangster.
Yeah, like, mob boss or whatever and reign supreme. But I think he's crossing, like, the moral ground of being good and bad.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting for a main character in a series, I think. Not many series or anything I can think of really crosses that line of a main character being good and bad like that.
Mm-hmm. And since I'm impatient, I've been reading a little bit of the manga, and it is cool in the sense of with every JoJo series, you know, especially when it's like you got what's it called? The Phantom Blood, where you basically had Jonathan. Like, he had a team, you know, there was Zeppelin and all that or whatever. And then with Battle Tendencies, you know, you had Caesar and Joseph. And then, like, Stardust, you had the whole Crusaders.
Crew. Yeah, the whole crew together for their journey.
And then you get, you know, in part four.
You had the whole town.
Yeah.
You had the whole town in part four.
And, you know, there's this build of, like, groups and stuff. And it's cool how they do it because they all meet each other in different ways. And,
yeah.
Like it's like an RPG. They, like, recruit characters as the show goes on. But with this one, it's interesting because Gino, like, he's the one out of the group, but he meets his group that's like, because he wants to become obviously the best, you know, the top gangster. So he meets his friends that are already established group, and he like goes into it and like earns their trust in a lot of ways. And it's really cool.
Starts from the bottom and slowly works his way to the top.
it's really cool because it happens. I mean, he's not like, you know, right off the bat, like, you know, buddy with all of them, but they're all there. He's just in, and then it's just him proving himself, and then all the other bizarre shit JoJo can throw at you. That's in there. So it's really cool. But I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, that's in October. I think the first episode might be the first or second week from the fall season.
Yeah, and just with like part four was I think the first one where I actually, because it's like we always knew about Stardust Crusaders because that was so popular. And, like, even back in the day, you know, it had its own PlayStation game, Dreamcast, too. And it's, like, I always knew that existed. And, like, Jotaro and, like, that arc was, like, so iconic even through us. You know, they even had the old anime from, like, the 90s that they made.
Yeah, the OVA, whatever.
Garbage. You know?
Yeah.
And then once they redid it all and started going through from start to where we are now, which... you know, praise the stands that is a
thank
thing.
You, David Productions, for making
I know.
JoJo anime. It's so
make
good.
It watchable. You know?
It's amazing.
But like part four, you know, in that's the town,
Morio?
Morio, yeah.
City or whatever.
Yeah. But you know, like that was such a cool, you know, it's like going from Stardust to that, it was just totally different.
Yeah, from Stardust where it's around the world in 80 days journey from the U.S. to Egypt, and then part four where it's just you're in one location, this city, and just slowly throughout the series.
And you get like, you know, because from, you know, obviously the first season to the second season to the third, like one through three, they all are pretty connected very well.
Yeah, for sure.
And fours, I just, you know, you get Josuke. It's like you get this whole other character and all the other characters. I mean, Jotaro's in it, but he's even different. He's totally different. And none of the Crusaders are in it, you know, besides Joseph, I guess. But, you know, he's obviously an old man. And it's like cool to see it completely turned upside down and like this whole new refreshing story and just... That's why I'm excited for part five, because it's the same, you know, you're like, I got all these characters, I know them, you know, what? No Josuke? No, you know, what's his friend?
Koichi or Oyaksu?
Oyaksu, you know, like you get none of them, it's like you're not going to get any of that. And
well,
like,
yeah, they're never going to leave that town.
Yeah, but it's cool though, because you're introduced to all these other people. And
yeah, I'm excited to meet the new cast of characters in JoJo.
Araki obviously knows how to create characters.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to love somebody. And
oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so... But, we're definitely going to probably have a JoJo episode, I'm sure.
Yeah,
so,
in the future.
Yeah. But, it's something we could talk about in extent.
Yeah.
But besides that... is there anything else you can think of you're looking forward to, like in anime or video games? I guess we'll just kind of wrap that segment up with anything we're not leaving out. So
yeah, video game wise, just the Spider-Man that comes out in September, made by Insomniac Studios. Looks like it's shaping up to be a pretty sweet game.
Yeah, because he's fighting like the Sinister Six in that, right?
It looks like they've got most of the Spider-Man villains shoved in this game, which is awesome.
Yeah. I heard this is kind of different, but I was like surfing around YouTube like I do, but they showed this thing about how they explained the origin of the symbiote.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
No.
It's interesting, but they talked about how it was from like the Big Bang. I'm going to wreck this, but it's, I'm going to try to explain the best that they did. But I guess there's like a new issue of the symbiote comics that came out where I guess the origin of it is this god before the Big Bang, like, you know, the celestials and all that. Like there was this other person that was like the symbiote god who created it all.
Sounds ridiculous.
It's crazy. Yeah. And he forged, he wanted to like expand like what he is and like spread it out into the universe. So he forged the symbiotes to go out and, you know, wreak havoc on the universe, I guess.
Okay.
I won't go into too detail, but we'll talk more of the video game, but I thought it was interesting because the whole point and weakness of a symbiote is like the sound and stuff. Like they're very weak against like sound waves and stuff like that. And the reason for that is because when this god was making them, he was like creating it with like a forge. So like fire and like him hitting the hammer, like just stayed with that symbiote throughout the rest of its like obviously existence. And that's why it's afraid of like sound waves and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I never knew that.
It's weird, but I thought it was kind of cool. And since you brought up Spider-Man, I just thought I would throw that out there. So. But yeah, I think that would be that game does look interesting. Did you play any of the other ones? The Spider-Man ones?
No, this is like the first Spider-Man game they've been in a long time.
I thought they had one for PS4. They had a Spider-Man game for that.
Did they? I don't.
Yeah, I don't. I'm pretty sure they did.
And I'm not sure.
Really?
I don't think so. This isn't Stomniac Studios. This is like one of a kind game so far. I don't think they made anything else.
All right. Well,
Spider-Man related at least.
Yeah, we'll fact check that. But we won't worry about that. So. But I guess the only other Spider-Man thing I can think of is like Marvel vs. Capcom and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and,
that came out years ago already.
Yeah, and obviously we won't talk about Infinite. I don't think Spider-Man was in that, was he?
Maybe. I have no clue.
Think about that pile of garbage that came out and just left. What is your thoughts on Soul Calibur 6? What do you think about that since we're big fighting game fans and Soul Calibur and all that's coming out?
I'm hoping for it to be good.
Yeah.
I don't know, ever since 2, I'm just wishing this series would be more similar to that, but it just keeps on changing more and more as they make the sequels.
Yeah. I, 5 was kind of a letdown. It was an okay game.
Yeah, it wasn't all right fighting game. I don't know, just like missing something. They're trying to copy off other fighting games with always those enhanced special moves, whoever, slow down time and then strike, you know.
Very, like, uncreative, you know, and going from 2 and like even like 3 and 4 and stuff, it's like they're just adding more stuff to it that you didn't need, you know. And
yeah,
we like the bare bones of it. That's why 2 is like our favorite, because it's very straightforward.
Yeah, and super fast paced. You can blink and the match could be over if you're not careful.
Yeah, like 30 seconds is a long time in that game, you know. And I like that kind of fighting style, and it's a fun game we like to play.
Yeah,
but I always like seeing the characters created, obviously, in the graphics that they can have now. And
yeah,
it's cool that they're going with pretty much the roster of 2. You know, they have the one guy from 5, or he's like a mix, but you know, and Geralt, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, awesome. They've always had the extra guest characters for a while now in Soul Calibur, but that's always an amazing addition to get Geralt from The Witcher, yeah.
Yeah, The Witcher's one of our favorite series, and I mean, that's an amazing game. Witcher 3 is awesome.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see him in some other medium, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But, I hope it's good. I'll probably buy it.
Yeah.
I like it.
And, can't resist a fighting game.
I think that, you know, I'm looking positively at it.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, it's been a while since 5.
Yeah, and I think the backlash at 5 and, like, them just taking those characters and changing them and all that, they're like, yeah, we fucked up. So
yeah,
I think they're gonna, you know, again, 5 wasn't that bad. It was still okay.
Yeah,
I might not buy it at launch, But it's like, oh, maybe I will.
Yeah.
So another thing with animated video games bringing to reality is the convention scene. You know, what do you, we have YumaCon coming up in October, November.
November, the first weekend.
Yeah. So what's like, how do you think of like YumaCon? Like, how, like, what's your take on it? Like, I know you like it a lot, but.
I don't know. We've been going to it a long time. Yeah. I think this might be the sixth or seventh year in a row going to YumaCon.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool because conventions, there's conventions for everything. You know, you have conventions for like fishing. You have conventions for weddings. You have conventions for anything you can think of. There's something that the masses of a, you know, an idea or culture and stuff come together. And YumaCon is just one of those things that Detroit holds that is just something different. You know, it's so cool. And you can see it if you just want to go buy a bunch of cool stuff. You know, you can go down and, you know, find a bunch of action figures, video games, wall scrolls.
All the swag you could ever want.
Yeah. Like, you can just, like, unload your savings on it and just find some cool shit that you can't really pick up anywhere else. And again, the community is really cool as well. You know, this is all these people that are talking about the same stuff that we're mentioning now, you know, like JoJo fans, My Hero Academia fans, like Naruto, all that stuff. It's like everybody under the sun's there, and cosplayers and panels. It's nuts. It's, four days. It's four. Cause it starts technically on Thursday.
Yeah. They do start on Thursday now, the little Thursday night opening thing. And then it's fully on Friday. Mm-hmm. I think they have like a little special ceremony Thursday night, which I've never gone to, I think.
They have one, Thursday and Sunday. They have like the opening closing, and closing.
Yeah, the closing ceremony.
Yeah, we never usually attend that.
No.
Stayed one weekend. That was a lot of fun, but it's a lot. It's intense, you know, and it goes on pretty much 24/7. And you have, you know, the video game aspect of it. There's a lot of tournament games going on too.
Oh yeah.
You know, I met Mike Ross there once. He's like a big Street Fighter guy, and that was pretty cool. Yeah, we for the podcast and all that, we plan to, you know, be involved more into a lot of the conventions and the community and stuff, and maybe talk to some other podcasters or people and just kind of do what obviously we like to do and enjoy it and just make this like a better show that, you know, we can with each episode and stuff. So I think it'd be cool to do that for YumaCon coming up. So what's like one of your favorite moments of YumaCon?
YumaCon? I don't know. Just when you first get there and there's just a wave of people everywhere.
Yeah.
That massive line that's wrapped around the building. It's insane. It's like each year it's like, I walk in there just not to be expecting, you know, too much, but like each year there's just more and more and
it
more.
It gets bigger.
And more people, the first time I went, how long ago till now? It's just insane how many more people there are. It's just awesome just to people watch, to be honest with you, just to see all the different cosplays. It's incredible. The people cosplaying as characters, their costumes are so sweet.
Yeah, that's that. Besides seeing a lot of the cool stuff and meeting cool people, but it's like, That's like one of the things that, you know, we always do it when we're going down there, and we're going to obviously buy a bunch of shit we don't need. But, you know, we see.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I need all that stuff. I love all that stuff.
How much was that gun figure? No, you know, I love when I see like a good cosplayer that makes like something that I like and all that, you know, become a reality. And I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know? Because there's a lot, obviously, that aren't cool. But, actually, there's a podcast here. They, I'll shout out to them, Cosplay Confidential. They'll probably be down there too. So maybe we'll like link up and talk to them because they're all about cosplayers and stuff, and they're really cool. So, you know, maybe that'll be like something we'll do. So, but I hope to talk to more people about that, and you know, me and you obviously having this medium of like podcasting, it'll be nice to reach out to other people that I'm sure are trying to do the same thing in their own way.
Yeah.
And
branch out a little bit, just interact with other fans amongst the community.
Yeah, and learn some stuff, you know. It's cool to hear some stuff that, you know, we can only know so much and we can only obtain so much. So it's cool seeing other people that might be doing something different that we're like, I don't know, you could do it that way. Or like, especially like video game and anime, you know, it's, I like to actually talk to like people that like make it, you know, like studios and all that. I think that'd be like cool. Interesting.
What was it at San Diego Comic Con? They had the creator of My Hero Academia there, which
I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, you know? I'm not sure who it is. I just read it recently, but I think that's pretty awesome.
That's interesting. That's really cool. Yeah, because that's like another thing with them. You know, you have manga. You know, manga, you have to know who creates it, basically. I mean, you don't have to, I guess, but usually you do, you know. It's like Toriyama, he's the one that did Dragon Ball Z, Akira Toriyama.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, Studio Ghibli, you know, I mean, that's anime, but...
Yeah, Hayao Miyazaki.
Miyazaki.
The biggest name in the business. Yeah.
His book's really good. You should listen to that. He has, like, an audiobook of, well, he has a book, too, of it, but... his story is really cool.
So. Oh, really? I didn't know. I'll have to check that out for sure. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good one. But yeah, I'm all about, because you, especially, and this is why anime, and this goes with video games too, it's like anime storytelling is just the most unique way that I've never seen things like talk about. You know what I mean? Like you have cartoons and movies and stuff like that, but anime always portrays stuff so wildly and so different that
from a live action show,
and it could be from comedy to drama to action. They always are just their own thing. And I always, as like a little kid when I was first introduced to that, I'm like, what am I watching here? This is just so weird.
Yeah.
And but like so captivating. It's
hooked the instant you watched it for the first time.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, when you we were so young. It's like when I saw like Akira and like Ghost in the Shell and stuff like that, I'm like, I'm not supposed to be watching this.
Yeah, Akira, watching that as a kid, that just went right over my head where it's like, what is going on? I have no idea.
People are just getting murdered and drugs and just like, you know, but it's not like raunchy, you know what I mean? Like it can be, obviously, with every type of category, there's that side of it. But I love when anime gets... I'm more of like, I love a lot of shonen, but I like really dark anime. Like I'm all about that, you know, and especially with us growing up through the 90s and stuff with a lot of the movies we've seen, I was all about, you know, like Wicked City, Twilight of Dark Masters, just like thing that always had a fucked up edge to it.
Something like, you've never seen before.
Yeah. And Devilman, like, you know, Devilman Crybaby just came out last year, this year. It's this year, right?
Was it this year? I think early this year.
I think so.
That was phenomenal.
But, you know, I'm like, we went through that rabbit hole. And I'm like, well, Mike, you know about Devilman? Let me show you some other Devilman shit. And I showed you some of the older stuff. I mean, not older. Well, I guess it's older. But, I mean, that creator, he's like, what's going on in your head? You know? But there's something about it that I'm like, there's no other way this could be told but anime, you know?
Yeah, and it wouldn't just be not even possible in live action. It'd just be ridiculous.
It would be dumb. It would just be, it wouldn't be right. And, you know, again, we love movies. You know, we're big Marvel fans and, you know, we like a lot of that shit. But, you know, video games and animes just, they're my pinnacles of storytelling, I think. Because then you have the video game side. It's like The Last of Us and like God of War and stuff like that. And again, all the JRPGs we could talk about where these stories couldn't be put into an anime. Because let's talk about Persona 5 for a second. Because, you know, that anime came out and it's like, oh, really?
Yeah, disappointed. Been there, done that. It's just like missing all the heart and soul of the video game.
It's literally a copy and paste. Just... they almost do it too good to a T, where it's like, I just want to play this. Like, I am literally watching an episode of me fighting this boss that I fought. Yeah. And you're like, I would have more fun replaying this. You know, it's like, I give it props for its effort and all that, but it sucks because Persona 5 is freaking amazing, you know? Yeah. And yeah, you know, it's like it's cool to see that anime can't always do it right, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you gotta play the game. You know, if someone's like, I love Persona 5, the anime, it's like, you're a freaking idiot. Go play the game. It's yeah. 1,000 times better, and it's literally an anime you're playing, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
And the quality's even better. Like, I don't even – there's, like, a weird tint to that anime. Again, we're talking about the show that doesn't look as good as the game, you know?
And yeah.
I see that, and I'm just like, I just want to play the game, you know? It's like the game just looks better.
For sure.
Even when it's not in cutscenes, you know? It's like – but yeah, I digress with that. And I do like the opening. The opening's really good.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Give that, what's her name?
Oh, I can't.
I know.
Off the top of my head.
But it's cool they brought her back because she did basically all the songs for it. And, you know, it was nice that they got her to do another song we didn't get from the game.
I think both the openings and the ending she sang too.
I can't think of the ending. This probably just goes to show how bad that anime was because I didn't want to finish it. So. But what do you expect for like later episodes in the podcast?
Later episodes for us?
Yeah.
For us, I think just the usual between Ryan and I talking about video games and anime for the most part. We'll branch out on other main things, nerdy things, on side topics eventually too. But we'd like to have other people in the studio with us talking to us about video games and anime. Tell us your favorite things about them, why you love them. Recommend series or video games to us, you know?
Yeah, and get more like – because me and Mike have our anime and video games that we're, you know, pros on, that we can talk about it till the day we die and all that stuff. But there are a lot that I like and I know you like, but we have friends that know it better than us, you know? And I'd like to have them on, and, you know, we'll do that. We'll definitely have some cool guests on.
I just like people on here talking to us about video games and anime. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Give us some of your best recommendations, or if you just want to talk about us about a favorite series or whatever, that's cool, too.
Yeah. And, hopefully, you know, what would be cool, too, to get is, you know, because we have obviously all the social links set up at, like, Ultimate Nerd Podcast, basically on everything. You know, getting emails and stuff, you know, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're listening and you want to just ask us anything, it doesn't even have to be about anime and video games, but let us know what you are thinking and what you want to know about us, too. That'd be interesting to talk about. Maybe we could do, like, a mailbag thing once we get some emails in and stuff. And, that'd be fun.
Yeah, contact us. Questions, concerns, and all that good stuff, and tell us if you want to be on the show as a guest. You're more than welcome to.
We got all the hookups for that too, so I don't know, why don't we just wrap this up? Sound good?
Yeah
I think we got out what we needed to.
Yeah, this is the Ultimate Nerd Podcast.
Yeah, you can catch us all basically on all the social medias. We have Ultimate Nerd Podcast on Instagram, Ultimate Nerd Pod 1 on Twitter. Our Facebook's under construction right now, so we'll get that figured out.
Yeah, eventually.
And email us at ultimatenerdpodcast@gmail.com. You can throw us some mail if you want to just talk to us about whatever or have any questions. But we'll be out and we'll be still doing this. We're like a bi-weekly podcast, just to kind of like go over this. So we'll be doing an episode, you know, every 2 weeks, and me and Mike will get our stuff down and figure out what we're going to be talking about. Yep. So, thanks for listening. And, again, you can check a lot of the stuff out at trainerpodcast.com too. So that's TRAINOR podcast.com. Yeah. So anything else, Mike?
I think I'm good. You said it all, man. This is the Ultimate Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Mike Sanderson and
Ryan Trainer.
Signing out.